This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. By now, you have no doubt heard the sad story of a man killed by the number 4 train after being pushed onto the subway tracks. A man was arrested and charged with murder after the attack in East Harlem, which the police described as unprovoked. This is an incredibly sad situation. A man was shoved onto the uptown tracks at the 125th Street station in East Harlem just before 7 p.m. on Monday night. And a 24-year-old man was arrested and charged with murder after pushing this person to his death on these tracks. The attack by the man, Carl McPherson, was unprovoked. And it is just such a sad situation. The police had not identified the victim as of a couple of hours ago, and a senior law enforcement official said that the man who was in custody appeared to have a history of mental illness. He had several arrests in Brooklyn, the first one at age 16. And the reason I'm mentioning this is not to make you afraid to take the subway. I take that every day. But to draw attention to what the mayor is saying in terms of conflicting messages. People are afraid to take the subway. People are afraid to walk around New York City. And this is not at 3 o'clock in the morning. This is at 10 minutes to 7 p.m. This is at a time when you don't think you're in danger of taking the subway. The mayor walked a fine line yesterday when he laid out a trio of deep-rooted issues: tackling recidivism, severe mental illness, and random acts of violence. And then he still beat back the narrative that crime in the city is out of control. And I understand intellectually what he means. The statistics in terms of crime are better now than when Rudy Giuliani was mayor or Mike Bloomberg was mayor. But I'll tell you what's not: the sense of fear New Yorkers have. So I think if the mayor wants to do something about mental illness, random acts of violence, and tackling recidivism, he's got to essentially loudly cry out to Albany for changes in things like the bail reform laws. He's got to loudly point this out as a big, big problem. Not say this is a big, big problem, but New York is still safe. He's got to really make clear what path he's treading on this. Is New York in danger because of mental health, recidivism, and random acts of violence? Or is New York still a very, very safe city? I understand intellectually you can say both, but it's not effective in terms of messaging. And it's clearly not working because New Yorkers say they're afraid. To be continued.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Morano. Some of you may have heard about this situation involving one of the mayor's top aides and closest friends, Tim Pearson, where he's been accused of sexual harassment. Well, I haven't talked about it because I don't like just repeating allegations that are unproven. And so far, Tim Pearson is still on the job. He's still working after a city worker sued him for sexual harassment. And the mayor said yesterday that that's because he deserves due process.
In this country, there's something called due process. And our due process does not change. It's due process. That's the cornerstone of our country. That is what Tim Pearson did for a great deal of time, ensure people had due process. And as a person who was in the Trade Center when the buildings collapsed and saved a great deal of people in guiding them out and protecting the city for the amount of time he has, I think he is due process.
Now, I want to be clear. I agree with every single thing the mayor said there. And I would want that for myself. If I was ever accused of sexual harassment, I wouldn't want my bosses just to pull me if it was unproven. Wait till something's proven. But other staffers have not gotten the same privilege as Pearson, who's a longtime personal friend of the mayor. Senior advisor Winnie Greco, who's being placed on unpaid leave after her homes were raided by the FBI in an apparent straw donor investigation, she has not been accused of any crime, yet she is on an unpaid leave. Where's her due process that she's entitled to? Similarly, Rana Abbasova was put on leave from her internal affairs role after her home was raided, despite no charges being filed. Where's her due process? And this isn't Pearson's first scandal. The DOI is reviewing his role in a scuffle at a migrant shelter where eyewitnesses suggested that he was the instigator. I'm not saying he was, but I'm saying this is not necessarily an isolated incident. Adams said that he hasn't spoken with Pearson since the suit was filed on Thursday. Last month, by the way, Mr. Due Process, all of a sudden Eric Adams, brushed off concerns about his idea to deport immigrants accused of serious crimes, saying,
"They didn't give due process to the person that they shot or punched or killed. You know, there's just a philosophical disagreement here. You know, they could have due process, but we should be communicating with ICE. And if ICE makes the determination of deporting, then it should."
He then backtracked and said he wasn't trying to remove due process rights. It just looks like the mayor selectively believes in due process. It looks like he believes in due process when he's accused of something or when his buddies are accused of something. But for others, due process is a fungible thing. Not a good look, Mr. Mayor.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77
Local Spotlight.
Hey, do you remember when those two Staten Islanders that were on Saturday Night Live, Pete Davidson and Colin Jost, I think Jost is still on Saturday Night Live, they announced that they were purchasing a retired ferry boat and they were going to do something fun with it. Here's a little bit of an interview that Pete Davidson did, I guess about a year or so ago, in which he talked about his plans for the former ferry boat.
We want to be able to dock it from April to September, maybe October in New York. And it will be like, you know, there'll be a restaurant, there'll be a concert venue, there'll be a movie theater upstairs, like sort of restaurant area. And then there's hotels in it. There's so we'll have like, you know, a couple of those. And then in the winter, tug it to Miami.
Well, they made headlines when they bought the boat for $280,000 in an auction 2 years ago. Soon after, both Jost and Davidson said that their ownership had quickly become a headache for them. Davidson even joked that he was very stoned when they joined a group of investors who placed the winning auction bid. Now, more than 2 years since they first became the owners of this iconic ferry boat, one of their silent partners, architect Ron Castellano, is sharing an update on the design process. He did an interview with Curbed, and Castellano confirmed that renovations on the vessel are going to begin soon. But right now, he and the comedians are hard at work creating designs to transform the ferry into a $34 million venue, complete with hotel rooms, two restaurants, and six bars. I mean, this sounds really cool. I mean, this sounds like they're going to be going all out, and I hope it comes to fruition. When he talks about six bars, two venues owned separately or combined, an outdoor event space, two restaurants, a big boat, almost 300 feet long, 65,000 square feet, that's 1.5 times the size of Nine Orchard Hotel. I think this is really cool. A floating hotel, a concert venue, an event space, and two restaurants. I really hope that this comes to fruition. I think it would be a great thing for New York, a great thing for tourism, and we don't really have anything like this. So I hope it works out. I'm rooting for them.
Beam me up.
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WBC.
Local Spotlight.
If you have an electric vehicle in the state of New Jersey and you have enjoyed not having to pay for gasoline and those onerous gasoline taxes, which even New Jerseyans have to pay these days, enjoy it while you can, because the state legislature approved a bill on March 18th to charge a fee, essentially a tax, for electric vehicles to cover road wear and maintenance as part of reauthorizing the state transportation trust fund. Here was State Senator Troy Singleton.
Those who own electric vehicles do not pay into the Transportation Trust Fund for use of the roadways. And I think all of us have a shared obligation to make sure our roadways are upkept.
I have to tell you, I think he's absolutely right. Not only are these electric vehicles presenting the same wear and tear on the roads that all other vehicles are, they're putting more wear and tear on the roads because they're so much heavier than regular vehicles. So why should only the vehicles that use gas pay the taxes to maintain the roads and highways? Absolutely. These EV owners should be hit with a hefty tax to make up for the damage that they're doing to the roads. This legislation, if it's signed by Governor Phil Murphy, would implement the state's first ever $250 EV fee, which would be due when an electric vehicle is registered or pre-registered, and it would take effect starting July 1st. So buyers of new EVs get hit the hardest, paying 4 years of registration fees up front when a new vehicle is purchased, meaning buyers could pony up at least $1,060. I do wonder if you're going to see a whole bunch of people try to buy vehicles and register them before this goes into effect. We'll see. Both environmentalists and a state car dealers association agreed that having to pay 4 years of a $250 EV fee up front will hurt electric vehicle sales. We'll see what happens.
Beam me up!
To be continued.